Welcome back. 6 months after the Arlington School Board voted to change the name of Washington Lee High School so that it would no longer honor the lead of the Confederacy, the committee charged to recommend a new name has revealed its first choice, Washington Loving High School. Loving, of course, was the name of the Virginia couple whose Supreme Court case made interracial marriage legal. But Washington Lee is far from the only school in the region grappling with a name change. It's already been done in Fairfax, where Jeb Stuart High School is now Justice High School. And in the district, Woodrow Wilson High School is considering a change. Joining me to discuss this is Kimberly Martin. She is the principal of Woodrow Wilson High School in Northwest Washington. Kimberly Martin, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Kota.
Also in studio with us is Peter Strack. He's a 1996 graduate of Washington Lee High School and serves on the committee to rename it. Peter Strack, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Last summer, the Arlington County Board, School Board, voted to change the name of Washington Lee High School. Remind us, why did they vote to change the name and what's happened since?
Sure. So a quick recap. The board voted back in June of this year to change the name to remove Robert E. Lee from the discussion. So the board went through a process of selecting and creating, creating a smaller group that created policy, and the policy was for renaming. And that policy helped us understand that the name Robert E. Lee didn't meet that policy criteria. And so the school board made the decision to change the name because the name Robert E. Lee didn't reflect the values of that policy. And so ever since then, we were created. There were volunteers, I think roughly 170 so Arlingtonians submitted to be a part of the process to rename. And they were looking at, I think, a wide array of constituencies, current students, as well as alumni, civic associations, as well as a member of the Historical Society. All volunteered, and then there was a double-blind survey, I believe, performed by the students to select the members of the committee. And then over the past several months, the committee has met to discuss what the possible names could be, and we've looked at input from the community, I think over 50 or 60 different names. We winnowed that down to a list of five finalists, and then we winnowed that down to three. And then from there, we voted, the 29th of November that Washington Loving would be the primary choice, with the alternate being Washington Liberty.
Who all is on this committee, and what were you trying to say with this endorsement of Washington Loving for the school's new name?
Sure. So the committee is comprised of representatives of the current student body, a representative from 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades, as well as four different alumni representatives. I represent the alumni from classes 1986 to 2005, but there were alumni representatives from the 50s and 60s, 70s and 80s, and then from 2005 to today. There were also, I believe, six or seven different representatives from the civic associations that comprise the majority of the students who attend Washington Lee, as well as a member of the Arlington Historical Society, and the assistant superintendent and a facilitator. And the facilitator was a nonpartisan. She was not even from the area. There was no bias in terms of her understanding. She was there really to help us do the best that we could to come up with some suggested names, and that was really our charge.
How much weight does the committee's endorsement carry?
Well, I think that remains to be seen, but I think that the endorsement of the committee, since it was comprised of students and of alumni and of civic associations, I think that it's going to carry a significant amount of weight. I think it's difficult to have discussions around the types of discussions that we had during the committee meetings. So I think that the deliberate nature in which we went about our business to have frank discussions around race and segregation and those challenges, I think that will show and demonstrate that we really thought hard about it. We thought hard about what the community said through the various surveys and input mechanisms that the community at large had to share their thoughts and also their frustrations. And we took that into consideration. And I think, you know, anytime you can empathize with your community, when you can empathize with the students and you can understand all sides of the argument, I think that goes a long way towards adding credence to our recommendations.
Joining us now by phone is Jonathan Mosley. He's an attorney representing Washington Lee High School students, those who oppose renaming the school. Jonathan Mosley, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you very much. Sorry I couldn't get in there. The concern of those opposed to the change are that the process has not allowed their voice to be heard. I understand that a couple of the members of the current committee to nominate new names have resigned because they were told that they were not allowed to pick the current name. On June 7th, there was a vote of the school board that the name be changed, and it's our contention in the lawsuit that the school board did not follow their own process or their own rules. The name change was not on the agenda for June 7th. The agenda was retroactively altered, doctored after the vote was taken to include the vote. And they don't believe that this is a way to heal these concerns by trying to rush through the process. My understanding from their concerns is that the surveys of the current students and alumni have always been opposed to changing the name. And that's why there's been these irregularities in trying to rush it through.
Among those who support a name change, Jonathan, are those who believe that your client's lawsuit is not really about renaming procedures, but it's really a refusal to acknowledge that Robert E. Lee was a leader in a war to retain slavery. Can you respond to that?
I do think they want to keep the name the same, but part of the discussion they want to have is they don't think that's the name of the school, and they don't think that's who Robert E. Lee was. The colors of the school, I'd be interested in the comments, are blue and gray. The school was supposed to be named for reconciliation, which is why it was Washington and Lee. And they have the colors of both the North and the South as their official school colors. And the people who want to keep the name the way that it is, and this is why they really want to have this a full and open discussion, which they think would be educational.
What do you mean when they say they don't think that was who Robert Lee really is, someone who wanted to retain slavery?
They think that he was a military officer who was obligated to defend his state. They don't think that he was a policymaking a participant in the Civil War. He was doing his duty. And
is there any doubt in their mind at all that the purpose of the Civil War was in order to retain slavery?
Well, that is controversial. I think that they would probably acknowledge that, but they would think that Robert E. Lee was not the policy-making leader in that. He was a military officer bound to do his duty, is their point of view. But, but in any event, that they don't believe that changing it in behind the scenes is really going to heal anybody's
attitudes. Let me ask about the behind the scenes part of it. Peter Strack, what have discussions been like on the Washington Lee renaming committee? It's my understanding that there were police officers at those meetings and that, as Jonathan mentioned, there were resignations of some committee members.
Sure. So there was nothing behind the scenes about what we were talking about. And I think what some may view as reconciliation, others may view as, challenges during restoration after the Civil War. And Lee's own words and his testimony in 1866 to Congress about the challenges that he felt, even regarding, black people and education, I think that's a concern. So there was nothing hidden about the difficult discussions that we had regarding race and what Lee represented and what Lee said, both publicly and even worse, privately. And I think those all factored into our discussions and how we thought about alternative Lees. I mean, Light Horse Harry Lee, we talked about Henry Lee, we talked about William Lee. In fact, that was Washington's manservant. We talked about a variety of alternatives, but ultimately we felt that, let's look at all of the public opinion. And there was public opinion in the surveys provided that talked about this is a chance to really understand and grapple with history. And it was a smaller subsection of Arlington citizens and current students and that we had these difficult discussions about. And I think those that were talking about, keeping Lee in the committee, there were representatives in the public that attended, I believe, every single meeting. And in some cases, there were interruptions from the public that led to
the requirement of police officers being there.
Correct.
Jonathan Mosley, what are you hoping this lawsuit, how are you hoping this lawsuit will turn out, and what do you expect?
Well, the vote was taken on June 7th. And I applaud the involvement that I'm hearing, but that was supposed to predate the vote as to whether or not to change the name at all. And anytime you do an administrative law kind of lawsuit, and I'm doing it on behalf of these clients, they want the process to be followed. And I'm a little surprised that the school board didn't go, okay, we'll just go back and we'll do these things and then decide, and then decide if we're going to change the name or not. It would have been very easy for them just to say, okay,
you think the judge is going to order the school board to go back and do those things?
There's a lot of subjectivity. I think that judges can do what they want, but I think that it would not be hard for them to go back and do it. And I think that to change the name and spend a lot of money on changing it and then to do it would be very difficult. Well, but I think to do what they were supposed to do is really not that hard.
Okay, we're going to have to see how this turns out. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will talk about what's happening at Woodrow Wilson High School in the district. Do we erase history when we change names of institutions like schools? We're going to be talking about Woodrow Wilson. Should his views on race mean the school's name should be changed? I'm Kojo Namdi.
This month at WAMU, we're lifting our voices to shine a light on Black changemakers throughout American history. Some you know and some you don't, but they all change the world. Hear the stories of these incredible scientists, activists, artists, and more throughout February on WAMU 88.5 and streaming at WAMU.org.
Welcome back to our conversation about renaming schools. We're talking with Jonathan Mosley. He's an attorney representing Washington Lee High students who oppose renaming the school. Peter Strack is a 1996 graduate of Washington Lee High School and serves on the committee to rename the school. And Kimberly Martin is the principal of Woodrow Wilson High School in Northwest Washington. Before we get to Woodrow Wilson, Peter, what about the name the committee is putting forward to the school board, Washington Loving? How did that name rise to the top, and do you support it?
Yes, well, the name came about from suggestions from the community as well as from members of the Civic Association and the students. So it was one of the names that was bantered about through discussions amongst the SCA meetings at school. It was I didn't actually know about the Loving decision, the Supreme Court decision, until the committee discussed it. So I was happy to learn about what it meant and what it represented. As far as my own personal beliefs, I think it's a great choice. My favorite is Washington Liberty, because I like the parallel between the father of our country and the Lady Liberty, the mother of our people. But I'm absolutely behind Washington Loving. I think a choice that's suggested by the students, for the students moving forward, that's representative of who they are and who we are. I think that's a wonderful thing, and I think to celebrate that, I think would be tremendous. And I think having a decision, a Supreme Court decision, as the name of a high school I think that would be the first in the country.
Richard and Mildred Loving were the couple who managed to successfully challenge Virginia's ban on interracial marriage in court, struck down in 1967, affected 15 other states. But if you don't believe me, you can go see the movie. It's called Loving.
There is that too.
Kimberly Martin, Woodrow Wilson High School in the district is in the very early stages of considering a name change. What's problematic about the name, and why is this issue coming up now?
It's not a new issue. In 2015, three teachers, two of whom are still at Wilson, petitioned to change the name from Woodrow Wilson. They just felt that, by allowing our school to be named after him, it miseducates the young people who are part of our community. The research on the issue is still ongoing, of course, but many students have noticed the detrimental effect that honoring a historical figure who has clearly prejudiced views and biased views and resegregated the federal government and showed Birth of a Nation in the White House. Those are just some of the legacies of Woodrow Wilson that point to his history and experience of racism.
Indeed, and it was particularly obvious here in the District of Columbia, where Woodrow Wilson and his cronies tried to push back against the African-American community here about everything they had owned and all of the places where they lived, and tried to make sure they never got ahead in the federal civil service. And
that's
like,
right.
What would the name-changing process look like?
We have a playbook drawing on the experiences of the elementary school in the Anacostia that lobbied successfully to replace the name of the slaveholding former mayor of Washington, Benjamin Grayson Orr. And they were able to change it to Lawrence E. Boone. So we would follow a similar process. We know we have to get our recommendation to ANC, the Advisory Neighborhood Commission, work with DC Council, the mayor's office, make sure that we have the support of parents and students. It's a long battle from where we are now to changing the name. But we do have a playbook and we know what we need to do.
What new names have been floated for Wilson High School? I hear some people like the idea of keeping the name Wilson, but naming the school for, well, a different Wilson.
That's right, August Wilson. That's a very expensive proposition to change the name of a high school. All of our jerseys and yearbooks and things like that we would have to change, logos, perhaps change a logo. But August Wilson or another historical figure or a person of prominence with the last name Wilson has been brought to the fore.
Do Wilson students and parents support a name change?
It seems to me so far we haven't got to the stage where we've experienced a lot of pushback yet. But again, we're in the very early stages.
Here now is Paul in Arlington, Virginia. Paul, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'll try to make this fast because I know there's not a lot of time left. But I wanted to say, first of all, it's not true that Robert E. Lee was obligated to fight for the Confederacy. He was given an opportunity to fight for the Union, which he turned down. So just wanted to set that straight. But also, I think I'm totally in favor of these name changes, but I think this is a great opportunity for people to dig into the historical record and find underappreciated figures who would be good to name high schools and other things after. And I sense a certain intellectual laziness in naming high schools after abstract concepts like justice and liberty. And I think Washington Liberty is a problem because also you're still honoring a slaveholder. And also Washington Loving, in theory, it might be a good name, but it's a name that's liable to be misunderstood. So I think people need to work harder to find underappreciated figures to be the namesakes of these high schools.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. Jonathan Mosley, care to comment on that?
I think the problem is that I have is where will this stop? I mean, I don't really like Wilson's politics personally, but we do have the interesting question of it. You know, where would we draw the line? Is there any, if we did what the gentleman suggests, and I applaud getting more into history, you know, is there anyone who will pass muster?
I have a thought, Peter, around that. I think part of this was articulated in the policy that Arlington Public Schools put together on the renaming or the naming of facilities of schools. And I think it became very clear that, for example, there's been a lot of discussion of, okay, where does this end in terms of schools named after places? And the short answer is that places don't harm people. People harm people. So that's underway right now, actually, with one of our middle schools, which happens to be the birthplace of Robert E. Lee, the Stratford Middle School, but also places like Yorktown, Wakefield, Gunston, all plantations. And so there was this thought, like, is this a slippery slope into other schools? And I think the short answer is no. I think Robert E. Lee was the only one that met that criteria.
Here's Brian in Northwest Washington. Brian, your turn.
Yeah, good day. Thank you for this conversation. I want to first thank the principal at Wilson for all the hard work she continued to do. My daughter is a student at Wilson, and she loves the school and continues
to
create to be a great student in her AP classes at Wilson. But I do support the renaming of the name of the school. I think it will do send out a great effect for all the students to take pride in renaming the school.
Is your daughter involved in the movement to rename the school?
Yeah, she is. So she's really active. Because of the principal, she's active in two or three different clubs.
Okay.
One is about critical thinking and also a member of the cheerleader.
I guess Kimberly Martin is keeping her busy. I only interrupt because we're running out of time, and I wanted to ask Kimberly Martin, you put changing Wilson's name into a larger context, that of promoting diversity at Wilson. Tell us about the racial makeup of this very sought-after high school, its diversity task force, and how when you got there, you heard people refer, 4 years ago, you heard people referring to the two Wilsons.
That's right, yes. For sure, the one of our legacies is our legacy of separation, right? When I got to Wilson a few years ago, I did notice that there were some tracking mechanisms and other mechanisms that kept students separate. And we've worked really hard on creating a diversity task force that's been in existence now for 3 years. And that has worked to undo some of these kind of institutional barriers that have kept students apart. And thank you to the previous caller who was giving me a shout out there. To the point on naming the school, we have we've really dug in on learning the history about Wilson so that we don't, that is the former President Wilson, so that we're not doing this as, you know, with laziness, a mental laziness, as one of the callers mentioned. Mm. And on February 12th, we're having a symposium with some historians who are really digging into the history and making sure that the decisions that we're making and anyone that we put forward is someone that is someone who represents the values and the core missions of our school.
And there are a lot of monetary costs here. Peter, any advice for schools that are about to embark on the renaming process?
In terms of the cost or just overall?
Just overall.
Overall, I think it's important to have open dialogue. I think understanding the historical context and involving various stakeholder and community groups. I thought that what Arlington did in terms of bringing the students to the table, getting activity at the school, involving different alumni groups, and having frank, difficult conversations and among the alumni association, and many of whom were against it. But I think having those discussions, the civic association, students, alumni representatives, parents as well, can't forget the parents, getting them a chance to talk and get their voice heard is important.
Peter Strack, Kimberly Martin, Jonathan Mosley, thank you all for joining us. I'm afraid we're just about out of time for today's show. Today's conversation on a new East End hospital was produced by Ruth Tam. Our show on school name changes was produced by Lauren Marco. Coming up tomorrow, what can proteins tell us about the past? Scientists are re-examining historic texts and learning remarkable things about the people who once handled these ancient documents. We'll explore one effort at the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, which is putting together a fuller, scientifically sourced picture of the bard himself. We'll explore it all tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Nan.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Julie Deppenbrock, Margaret Barthel, and Lauren Marco. Our managing producer is Inge-Lisa Strobsdorf. Our intern is Talia Drayton. Our engineer is Josephine Neonai. For past shows and more content, go to kojoshow.org.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.